Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Say this with me out loud. This is my Bible. It's the living Word of God. Has the power to change lives. And I declare by faith that my life and the life of those around me is about to be changed by the living Word. Amen. Opening comments this morning. You know, we've been in a series, if you've been with us. I was in a series on the Ten Commandments. And I felt very led to go that direction because I knew in my heart, my spirit, it was preparation for where we're going now. I hesitate to call this a series. I usually teach in series. But I usually teach in series because I don't think there's any subject in God's Word that has a bottom to it. You know, it's just you keep digging and you keep finding nuggets in just about any subject. But when it comes to talking about the name of Jesus, and that's what we're going to be talking about, it's a bottomless mine of nuggets. It's full of the pearls of great price. To understand that this subject of the name of Jesus is a critical mass, if you will, you know, to use a scientific term, you know, modern day term that wouldn't have made sense, you know, even a century ago. We all know pretty much what critical mass is. It's the core element for something that is nuclear in terms of an explosion or a fusion. There has to be a critical mass because with all the other mass, if there's not a critical mass in the middle of all the other mass is going to do nothing. And the name of Jesus is a critical mass. In any situation, any circumstance, any given scenario in life, the name of Jesus is applicable. It can be applied. The overt hatred of this name now is beyond our ability to even conceive. A decade ago, we would have never imagined that the name of Jesus would be so reviled and so hated. In his day, they just didn't respect him. They didn't believe in him. But in our day, while those of us who believe, there are those who can't just not believe, they feel compelled to hate that name. They feel compelled that they have to go beyond saying, I don't believe in that name. They feel compelled and driven spiritually from the other side of and in darkness. They feel compelled to hate that name openly. And we begin to see this in such overt ways. In the name of Jesus is not well understood. And I'm going to say some things that I don't want to sound like I'm pontificating or talking from, I know more than you know. You know, that's not where I'm coming from. But the name of Jesus is not well understood by many followers. Well, they know the name. It's one thing to know about something. It's another thing to understand it. And it's a whole new thing to know how to apply it. We can say, I've heard of this. We can say, I believe in this. But then how do I apply this in any given matter in life? But particularly when it comes to the name of Jesus. And the name is so misunderstood, I think, even by many believers. Not because it's hard to understand, not because it's hard to comprehend the power of this name, but because it's not usually taught. And I want to be careful when I say this. My fellow pastors and pastors in the community that will watch this on live Facebook. Again, I'm not pontificating. I'm not saying I know better than anybody else or do it better than anybody else. But I'm going to state what I believe to be true. That it's not hard to understand why so many Christians never really understand the power of that name because so many pastors and preachers never teach it in depth. And how to apply it in daily life. that it's, as I said in the announcement on Facebook about the series, that it's not a cantation, it's not a potion, it's not a magic thing. You say, oh, just use the name of Jesus and everything will go okay. How many of you know you can use the name of Jesus and it doesn't mean everything's going to go okay? Unless you understand how to apply that name in your daily life, in your circumstances, in raising your children, in dealing with your finances, in your work-related situation, to understand that, again, it's not a magic potion or an incantation. Oh, in the name of Jesus, and everything will get better. But to understand the depth and the power of that name. And as the world grows in its hatred towards the name of Jesus, we need to understand that we should be growing in our faith in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, not that of works. At least any man should boast. How often do our prayers end up being, or Christian prayers being, in his name? I have to admit, at times I catch myself going, in his name. Why do we say in his name? Why don't we say in the name of Jesus? Why? Because you live in a world where it's a reviled name, so you get into an environment, and some environments that I have to work where I can't really proselytize and function in that. So I will use in his name, but I found myself in situations where I'm going to use the name, like it or not, don't like it. I'm going to use the name instead of saying in his name. It's simply in the name of Jesus. You understand? There's power in that. There's power when you understand what that name means. There's no other name that invokes heaven on earth but that name. When the name of Jesus is spoken and applied with true biblical understanding, and what we're going to learn in this series, when it's applied and really understood, it invokes the kingdom of God. It invokes the presence of God. And again, it's not an incantation or a potion, but it manifests the power of the kingdom. And God knows in the world that we're in right now, if we are going to convince people that Jesus Christ is real, we need to be able to invoke the presence of the kingdom. What is the Lord's Prayer? What did he say? Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the situations and circumstances in our daily lives that we find and invoke the presence of God, no matter what's going on, no matter how situations look, good or bad, we invoke the kingdom because we want what the kingdom wants. Because when we get what the kingdom wants, we get what the king wants. And when you get what the king wants, you get the best you can get. Does that make sense? You invoke the kingdom in your finances. You invoke the kingdom in your resources, in your raising of your children, in your work-related situations, medical situations, or emotional situations. You invoke that name because it invokes the presence of the kingdom. And so, like I said, it's critical mass. That's just my opening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in your name, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we would ask you to help us understand this subject. Help my brain connect with my spirit and with you, Holy Spirit, so that we all have a connection, that I recognize I'm just a vessel. And I invoke the name of Jesus, that we all may understand things that we've never understood. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Matthew 10:27. Listen to what Jesus said. It's red letters in your Bible. When I tell you now, what I tell you now in darkness. Now watch what he says. What I tell you now. Jesus speaking to his disciples and speaking to us. What I tell you now in the darkness. How many of you believe we're living in the darkness right now? Okay, the world around us is getting darker and darker. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper, listen to what he says. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops so everybody can hear it. What an incredible scripture. What an incredible statement by Jesus himself. And notice he says, darkness. In the middle of your darkest situations and circumstances, he's still speaking. He's always speaking. He's always talking. He's always relating to us. He's always communicating with us. He never stops talking. We stop listening. When I find myself in situations and I'm distraught and I'm at loss and I don't know what to do, it's usually because I've stopped listening. It's not because he's not talking. Does that make sense? That can be an incredible revelation if you get it. I've heard people say, well, I don't know what God sounds like. What does he sound like? That's not hard to figure out. There's only three voices in the world. There's the voice of God. There's the voice of the devil. And there's you. You're standing on a street corner. You have $20 in your pocket. And you hear something go off inside you and says, that man standing right next to you, give him $20. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I only have 20 bucks. I don't even know the guy. I mean, he looks like he's doing pretty good. You know, he's got a nice suit on. God says, give him 20 bucks. Oh, let's figure this out. There's only three voices, God, the devil, and you. Well, the devil's not going to tell you to give him 20 bucks. And I'm not going to say you. There's only one voice left. But it's when you begin to learn to listen to hear that voice. You say, well, wait a minute. I mean, that guy's got a suit on. Looks like he probably drives a Beamer. He's got nice polished shoes, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on in him. You don't know that maybe in a situation, in a circumstance with all of his suit and his nice shoes and his watch and all that kind of stuff, you don't know what's going on at home. And you don't know that something hasn't gone off inside of him. And that wouldn't be that thing that maybe that person said to themselves, Lord, does anybody really care about me? Everybody thinks I have everything. Everybody thinks I'm doing good, but I'm miserable on the inside. Does anybody love me? And there you are with your last 20 bucks. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's when you learn to express that name. So I want you to understand what Jesus says, what I whisper in your ear. That's an intimate verse. You can't whisper in someone's ear unless you're close. And that means there's a relationship. And it's not contingent on church, and it's not contingent on your pastor, and it's not contingent on a televangelist, and it's not contingent on anybody else. It's contingent on a personal relationship. Mano a mano. That's where you begin to learn to find out that Jesus isn't a religion and that he's with you 24/7, not just in church. And you don't go to church to find him. You take him to church. Are you with me? Does that make sense? So when you understand that, that whisper is relational. In other words, Lord, come close. In the midst of my situation, in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of whatever it is going on in my life, am I listening? Or is the world screaming so loud at me, I can't hear you? Because I have you at arm's length, or I've stuck you at church. And that's where I meet you, and that's where I find you, and that's where I know you? Or do we have a relationship? And when you begin to understand that, that's why Jesus said this, John 3:5. Jesus replied, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, unless you invite him in, and we all know this, most of you know this, unless you invite him in and finally say, okay, I want to know you. You have to be born to know that, to hear that voice, and to begin to understand that, because that voice, it's a still, small voice inside you. I have never heard God speak audibly. I'm not so sure I can handle it, okay? Amen. Knowing how incredibly awesome it is, but you enter into it simply because you desire, you hunger, you want to know more, and you want to live a life of victory. And victory doesn't mean you don't have battles. You can't have victory without war.
That's right.
And if you live your life safe, you may be safe, but you'll never know victory. And you'll never know what it's like to hear that voice and help you. What I want to do in this series is, and believe me, I'm just doing my best to try to introduce this subject for us as we march in and we dig into the pearls and the depth over the coming weeks about the power of that name. Decade struggle over the kingdom of God for me. Since 1969, I've, you know, struggled with this issue. When I say struggle, I mean genuinely struggle with the kingdom of God. The people who led me to Christ, and I gave my life to Jesus and surrendered to him, they began to train me and school me. And they said, Bob, the thing that you must apprehend if you're going to live your life with Jesus, you've got to begin to learn about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is something you struggle. And Jesus said you're going to struggle to press in. The kingdom of God isn't just going to show up. Things aren't just going to work out. Things aren't just going to become better. You fight for what you need. And so in that journey, I learned that it's a struggle for the kingdom, but it's a struggle to press into the kingdom. It's not a struggle to have the kingdom. It's a struggle to press into it. That you have to want it. You have to desire it. Have you ever wanted something and said, I don't know what it's going to take? I don't know what it's going to take to convince that man or that woman that I love them. I don't know what it's going to take, but I need a better car, like we said last week. What is it going to take for me to do that? What is it going to take for my children to be successful and be raised in a good home and know love? And what is it going to take? What do I have to do? Because I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it because I want it. And I want it bad enough, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to get it. Man, that's living life at the top. That's living life the way we were designed to live it. That you don't live it in passivity and you're always, looking to get out of trouble. I found out when you really start following Jesus, you're going to bump into trouble just about every place you go. I also found out when you're not living for Jesus, you're going to bump into trouble just about wherever you go. So I figured, why don't we do it with him rather than without him? Does that make sense? So Acts 14:22, watch what it says. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we may through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's not going to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, sure, it applies to the fact that one day when you step out of this world and you put off your physical suit, you're going to step into the kingdom of God. At least I hope you are, but you can't get into that kingdom without that name. You can't get into that kingdom without knowing the king. And we press into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. How many people end up being led to Jesus and they just come to Jesus, he'll make everything good? How many of you know everything doesn't get good? It's just you get better. Come on, listen to what I said. You get better, you get stronger, you get wiser, you begin to understand what's going on, and when you're faced with life situations, you have something to deal with it. So the kingdom doesn't come through casual approach. We're not going to, in this series, we're going to learn that you're not going to meet the kingdom of God, and you're not going to know that thing that takes place inside of you, that you begin to live out, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That doesn't come by simple observation. It comes by getting close and being able to hear that whisper. Hear that still, small voice that speaks life to you in the midst of situations. It doesn't come through casual relationship or casual approach. You're not going to enter the kingdom just because you go to church. You're not going to walk in the kingdom just because you got saved. I didn't say you're not saved if you're not going to church. And I didn't say you're not saved if you don't know what the kingdom is. I said you're saved. I'm not challenging that. Saved by grace through faith, not that it works. Nothing you can do for it. But how are you going to live it out?
That's right.
In this series, I want to talk about how we can learn to deal with darkness.
Yeah.
And deal with the encroaching evil. And deal with, as the world gets uglier, the kingdom gets stronger in these people. And the kingdom becomes a power and a life in people. But the kingdom is not locked up in some cheap vault someplace. The kingdom of God is locked up in a whisper. It's more secure than all the gold in Fort Knox. If you've ever looked at the Fort Knox facility, you couldn't even get on the grounds, much less into the facility. And the kingdom of God is locked up in something way more secure than Fort Knox. It's locked up in a relationship. And you can't break into it. And you can't steal it. You just surrender it. And you say, Jesus, come in, I want to know. Watch what Jesus says, Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, it's not something you're going to see until you see it here. You don't see it with these eyes, you see it with these eyes. You see it with the you on the inside. That's why you have to be born again. That's why we keep saying to people that you must surrender to Jesus to understand. You can hear this intellectually. You can even hear it intellectually and walk away and go, wow, okay, that's pretty cool. Oh, yeah, okay. It won't work. You can quote the name, but it won't work unless you know the name. So the kingdom doesn't come by observation, but by participation. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. It comes by participation. You participate in it. You function with it. You grow with it. I want to teach you in this series how to use the name of Jesus, not as an incantation, as a potion, but how you can actually change circumstances and situations into divine order by that name. That every demon and devil in hell fears that name. Fears that name. Not just when somebody speaks it out, but when somebody who's heard a whisper uses that name. The devil himself cannot resist that name. We're going to learn how you can take back what's been taken from you. I appreciate that song Shemaine sang at the end, and the worship team, I really appreciate them and appreciate that ministry, because it's about how we set people free. We can't set others free unless we learn to set ourselves free. Unless we begin to walk in that kind of freedom. And so as we learn about this, you understand that this reality, the reality that we're going to be talking about, will not come to us by osmosis. Osmosis, by definition, means this: a gradual and unconscious assimilation of ideas and knowledge. In other words, you're going to get this not because you heard me preach it. You're going to get this, you're going to start getting it, not just while you're listening to the series, but you're going to start getting it because you're going to begin to focus on the inside of you that is bigger than the outside of you. And the eyes of your understanding, now what the scripture says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What is your purpose in life? That you look around at all the garbage and all the crud that's going on, and you realize that you really do begin to understand the verse that so many Christians quote and really don't believe. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. They quote it all the time, but it's like a potion. It's kind of like when something happens, it's like, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Huh? We aren't backing up. We're moving forward. The kingdom of God is linear in form. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. The kingdom of God is linear in its form. It is always moving forward. I see so many Christians over the years, and I've caught myself in the same trap. You end up in the cycle of resistance, of circumstances. You ever caught yourself in a situation and you think, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? And you end up in a cycle. And it's over and over and over again. People go, well, how am I going to know if I'm in a cycle? That's really easy. The terrain is always familiar. You keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. When you begin to hear in this series that the kingdom of God is linear in form and it is always moving forward, you may be going like this, but you're going forward while you're going. Because you understand this issue of life and how you face the circumstances of life. And so osmosis means the gradual unconscious assimilation of ideas and knowledge. It's not gradual and it's not unconscious. The kingdom of God is open, and the only limitations on understanding the things of the kingdom are the limitations that we place on God. And that we put on God because we don't approach him and we don't hunger for him more than anything else. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Our life is a pursuit after the treasures of the kingdom. And it's not head knowledge. It's applicable knowledge where we can, in the workplace, in the lives of other people, make a difference. Change circumstances and change events by our mere presence because we understand the power of the name. I have been in some of the most critical situations in life. That name wasn't a potion. When I first got into ministry and we're working in hardcore drug addiction, and we were working at a 24-hour hotline, and I had the night shift, and I had a couple, an older couple. Of course, I was in my 20s, so they were probably 40. but they came to the door. They came to the door, knocked on the door, and I said, "Well, it's coming in the middle of the night, you know." And I saw this couple, and I said, "Are you okay?" I let them in. I unlocked the door. Wasn't supposed to unlock them in. They looked terrified. And I said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "Our son is trying to kill us." I said, "What? Our son is trying to kill us." I said, "Come over here and sit down on the sofa." You know, and I sat down and I said, "What do you mean he's trying to kill you?" And right about that time, he showed up at the door. I had left the door propped open. And he's standing at the door. And I turned around, not out of bravery, probably out of stupidity. I just stepped forward and I said, "What do you need?" And he had a .38 snub-nosed revolver. I know what they are because I own them. He pointed that puppy at me and had a hammer. He pulled the hammer back, and I mean, he wasn't this far away from me. And the only thing I remember saying was, "Jesus! Hello, Jesus! In the name of Jesus!" And I will never forget for the rest of my life watching this man squeeze the trigger, watching his finger squeeze as hard as it can. He can't make it go off. And he got so frustrated that he threw it out into the planter and walked off. And I was just, "Yay, Jesus." Okay. I went over, unloaded it, and went click, 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 click. I don't know if it was Jesus himself or there was an angel had him fingered down the barrel. I don't know. Okay, all I know is that at the most critical and crucial times in our life. So you understand, preachers, how do I do this? I got to say this. I got to be careful how I say this. Preachers and pastors preach Jesus all the time, and we should. They preach messages. They have great sermons about Jesus. But in this series, we need to hear about the sermons Jesus preached.
That's right.
Yes. We have a lot of preaching about Jesus, but not enough preaching about what Jesus preached about. And he preached the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? It's not that we're not talking about the name of Jesus, but if you talk about the name of Jesus, you've got to talk about the kingdom. Because if you're going to preach Jesus, you've got to preach what Jesus preached. And if you preach what Jesus preached, people won't show up because it presses you, it forces you, it obligates you to do something with your faith. You can preach Jesus and people will come. But you preach what Jesus preached. And he said, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence because the people who have the kingdom and understand the kingdom are going to apply the kingdom in every given situation in life. And as the world clashes with the church, the body of Christ, and as the world clashes, we understand why Jesus said in Luke 17:21, nor will they say, see here or see there, for the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, what we're going to talk about is how we take into the workplace, into the marketplace, into our personal lives, into the events of life, into the struggles, into the joys, into the happinesses of the marriages and the births of children and grandchildren and all of those events. We learn that it's not about just preaching Jesus. It's preaching what Jesus preached, and that's the clash of the kingdoms in his name. Give him a praise. Close with this. John 18:36. Jesus said this. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In other words, he sent us into the world. He died on the cross to redeem us, to be receptacles, to be vessels of the kingdom of God, to break the powers of darkness, to set people free, to deal with infirmities of the body, of the soul, of the spirit, to be a people that make a difference, to be a people that said, we're going to live a life of combat. We're going to live a life that's going to war against darkness. We're going to live a life that's not going to play it safe anymore. That I'm not just going to hide in my little biblical cubicle. And I'm not just going to show up in church and do my tour of duty. That I'm going to live my life in the kingdom, in power. And I want my life to make a difference. And I want my life to be like what the apostles were in the book of Acts. They had no fear. It doesn't mean they didn't fear. It doesn't mean they weren't concerned. It doesn't mean they wanted to be beaten or crucified. They all were in one way or the other persecuted. But much of the church today is playing it so safe. There's no time for safe. This is time to call for all out war in Jesus' name against evil and against darkness. How can we make a difference? How can we say to someone who's struggling in life that Jesus isn't just a potion? That being born again is only the beginning. It's only the start. And that when we sing about the name, it invokes presence. In this series, I want to talk to you about down the road about what happens spiritually when you invoke that name. To see the power of that name. But the question is for all of that, is he close enough? Is he close enough that he can whisper? Or is he just at church? Is he at work? Is he at the supermarket? Is he at the gas station? Can he whisper in your ear? Can he talk to you and tell you what he thinks about you? Can he say things that no one else can say? Can he trust you that you'll not only listen, but you'll obey? And that everything in your heart wants him more than anything else in the world. He's the pearl of great price. There's nothing in this world that is worth the name of Jesus. What would you do? You're struggling right now, and you're wondering, how am I going to get through this? There's only one way. And that's you get close, you listen to him, you hear his voice. But you don't have ears to hear. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. Book of Revelation, Jesus, own words. You'll never know the voice if you haven't yielded to the person of Jesus. And that means be born again. Just simply say, it's time to surrender. It's time for me to give up. It's time for me to let go. It's time for me to say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you paid the price for all my goofiness and my jacked upness, all the stupid things I've done and all the things I think. I believe you shed your blood on the cross that I might be pure, white as snow. Cleanse my heart and cleanse my spirit. And renew a right spirit within me, David said. Renew a right spirit within me. Touch me and touch my heart. I want to know you. If that's you, all you have to do is say it to him right now. And just say, I want to know you in that way. You may have given your life to Christ at some point. It's time to renew that gift. It's time to say, I'm going all the way, Jesus. Would you bow your heads? I want to ask you this morning, if that's you, and you've never given your life to Jesus, please, would everybody not look to give them the courage and the hope? If you've never given your life to Jesus and you're willing to, just say, I surrender. I just surrender. That's it. That's all you got to do. Say, I surrender. You're willing to surrender. Put your hand up. That's all I want you to do. Put your hand up. Looking across the room. Yes. I see that. Don't miss this opportunity. You may not get another one. If you put your hand up and I saw that, you can put your hand back down. Church, would you look up? With those that have looked up, I want to pray this prayer with you. A simple prayer. Then I'll let you go, man. I am so excited. I can't tell you. Inside my soul, I'm just churning inside because I feel like we're getting ready to give the devil a good old-fashioned kick in the blessed assurance. You know what? And I'm telling you, man, it's going to be all-out war. This is going to be incredible. You're going to see lives changed in such a supernatural way. You're going to see, I have literally watched in the course of my 50 years walking with Jesus, I've watched heroin addicts pray. Now, I'm not saying every heroin addict's going to get this, but I've literally watched heroin addicts, good, real hardcore heroin addicts, give their life to Jesus, become sober, stone sober right on the spot, and never have a withdrawal. I've watched alcoholics never go through 1 ounce of DTs, delirium tremors. I've watched people's lives be turned around on a dime because of the power of that name. That's the power we want to manifest.
Amen.
That's the power we want to see, that people's lives can be changed in a very supernatural way. So we're going to pray this for those who put their hands up.